Mitt Romney made his case for being the next president last night after accepting his party's nomination.
To the majority of Americans who now believe that the future will not be better than the past, I can guarantee you this. If Barack Obama is reelected, you'll be right.
The Democrats get their turn next week in Charlotte, North Carolina. A federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. has thrown out a Texas law requiring voters to show picture ID at the polls. This case could go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Ben Bernanke will speak today at a conference in Wyoming. Fed watchers are hoping for some action to boost the economy. Bond prices went up yesterday on expectation. A private funeral service for Neil Armstrong will be held today in Ohio. A public service is being planned for early next month in Washington, D.C. This is NBC News Radio. More than 500,000 customers are without power in Louisiana, more in Mississippi. But as we hear now from NBC's Jay Gray, that's not the biggest problem.
All of this water taking the place of roads and neighborhoods swallowed by the storm. And in some areas, more could be on the way.
Now's the time to get your family and yourself out of harm's way.
While others are going back to face the realization of just how little is left now.
Isaac is still dumping water on the Mississippi River Valley. And with school districts across the country struggling to keep teachers, buy books, and keep class sizes down, tonight in the Dallas suburb of Allen, Texas, the high school there will christen its new $60 million high school football stadium. It seats 18,000, has a 38-foot-wide video screen, corporate sponsors, and a towering upper deck. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance or savings or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Samsung is now 2-for-3 in its patent fight with Apple. A Japanese court has ruled Samsung did not infringe on any Apple patents with its slate of Galaxy smartphones and tablets. It means the South Korean company can keep selling all its products in Japan. Last week, a Korean court made the same ruling, but a U.S. judge said Samsung did infringe on 6 Apple patents. Still not known whether some of Samsung's products will be blocked here. By next year, Diet Pepsi may have a new formula. PepsiCo is taste testing a diet drink with different sweeteners. That's because of a problem with aspartame. The chemical breaks down during all the jostling and temperature changes of shipping, and by the time you drink it, the taste is significantly worse than when it was made. Formula changes, of course, can be risky business. Just ask New Coke. Asian stock markets fell today, European markets up. S&P futures gaining 5, NASDAQ futures rising 12, Dow futures up 40. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and a midsize company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, get Labor Day savings at the Home Depot with 10% off select special order Anderson windows and patio doors. Savings like that put Anderson's famous craftsmanship well within your reach. So reach out, come in, and save. The timing is perfect. And select special order Anderson windows and patio doors are 10% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 12th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications. Limited.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Ship with Tony.
And a very good Friday morning to you, the 31st day of August 2012. Oh my, when we turn to midnight tonight. Like it or not, it will be September, and by the time that month is over, anti-summer Tony will, I guess, be earning his name. But we're not going to know it's close to fall today, as you'll find out a little bit later on in the weather. Good morning to you. As we finish this week, we prepare, of course, for our journey to Charlotte, North Carolina, where on Tuesday morning we will be broadcasting live from the Democratic National Convention. Very much looking forward to that much later on in the show. I'll give you a little sneak peek at some of the guests we have already scheduled. We've got lots of room open and hoping to grab some great guests as we are live from the convention next week. Very much looking forward to bringing that to you. I tell you, we'll get to our first word in just a moment. I'll save it for that. I hope you're all doing well on this Friday morning. It's been a quick week. It's gone by really fast. A lot going on. And, happy to get to the end of the week, mostly because I've got lots of preparation to do, for our trip, to North Carolina. Amphi and I will be headed out Sunday morning. It gives us actually a little bit of time to get there and, meet some of the folks that are going to be an integral part of the convention, and very much again looking forward to that. In the meantime, though, today we have some amazing guests for you. In the 7 o'clock hour, Jane Felice Boudreau will be joining us. Jane is a candidate for Oakland County Sheriff. She's running against Mike Bouchard, and she is bringing to us today a story that is just unimaginable, truly unimaginable, the irresponsibility of Mike Bouchard. And she'll also comment on the recent release of 228 prisoners from Oakland County Jail. Jane, who I've talked to on numerous occasions on the phone, is someone that's equal to the task of that job. Stacey Stewart will join us. If you've been watching television, you've been seeing commercials on the Protect Our Job, Protect Our Families constitutional amendment that everybody, we've of course talked about a great deal on this program. She is a star of one of those commercials. She's actually been with us before. Her story is a success, and without collective bargaining, I assure you, she wouldn't have a job today. Former state economist Mitch Bean joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, and this is an interview you do not want to miss. Mitch is going to lay out why the governor's plan to reduce taxes, to place the burden on the middle class and our senior citizens, and the way he has chipped away at education is a disaster and that he is selling us a bill of goods. There is no relentless positive action when you factor in the truth. And we're going to do that with Mitch Bean in the 8 o'clock hour. At the bottom of that hour, candidate for the state house, Chuck Tindall, will join us. He's running in Michigan's 38th House District. And then Joe DeSano, our political insider, will wrap things up in the 9 o'clock hour, where we'll also give you a little preview of some of the folks we're going to be bringing to you from the Democratic National Convention. With all that said, it's time to get things going here on First Shift.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Today's first word is relief. Relief that it's finally over. Yep, well, listen to Mitt Romney in this hour. You'll hear all about it. I'm not done with Paul Ryan, by the way. Oh, the Republican National Convention ends with a thud. And it, I don't think it's just my opinion. Mitt Romney's speech really didn't reach the heights that I think they were expecting it to reach, number one. Number two, Clint Eastwood does a skit that leaves lots of people scratching their head, maybe even Clint Eastwood, and it makes one wonder, is he feeling okay? Oh, sweet relief, ladies and gentlemen, that we are done with that. Now listen, the Democrats get their turn next week. Of course, we'll be there. And maybe it'll be similarly dud-like, but I doubt it. I think you have to actually work pretty hard to be as bad as the Republicans were last night. Jeff had sent me a YouTube video of the top, 10 quote-unquote funny moments of the Republican National Convention. Ain't a one of them funny. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. I understand that, you got to take pot shots the guy you're running against, but at least find something that's, funny. I mean, they made up everything else. They could have at least made up some jokes that were funny. And apparently they couldn't even do that. So great relief this morning that the Republicans are done bloviating for a while. The Democrats get their turn. I'm hoping, and I'm pretty optimistic, that they'll be able to do a stand-up job. We'll be there to prop them up come Tuesday morning. By the way, this is Labor Day weekend, so a little relief for many of you. Some of you will have the day off today. Certainly many of you will have Monday off. And I'm always mindful, and I want to say this, although it probably doesn't belong in this segment, that my brothers and sisters with United Food and Commercial Workers Union are a group of people that rarely get holidays off. They are there to serve you in both Kroger and Meijer. And be mindful that sometimes being a part of a union requires sacrifice. And God knows that my brothers and sisters in the UFCW certainly do that. Anyway, today's first word is relief. And that's that. We turn our attention now to Jeff Radford, where Jeff, I can say, I guess relief is in order for the Detroit Tigers. They get swept by the Kansas City Royals, a team that they should have at least been competitive with, losing 3 one-run games with the Chicago White Sox coming into town this weekend. Let's hope they got the bad stuff out of their system, huh? Good morning to you.
Well, I would say, and good morning to you, I would say that it's, let's look at the positives. You know, Anibal Sanchez pitches an amazing game, so did Porcello. I mean, pitching-wise, they're there. The hitting-wise is away from Comerica Park, different than at home. So we bring in the White Sox, and let's see what happens. Plus, by the way, the last 14 games, it's 14 games of the season, I think most of them were at home and against the Royals, but also against the Twins.
Well, let's just hope. Let's just hope that they can get it together, because this is the weekend they have to make the move. I don't expect them to sweep the White Sox, but it would be great to pick up a couple games if they can. And I'm also happy to say that before we get out of this half hour, we will be making some college football predictions for the weekend, at least two of the games that are on the schedule, one tonight, one tomorrow night, and we're actually looking forward to seeing both of those. Although you had said before we started the show today you didn't watch any of the Lions preseason game. I watched about 20 minutes of it last night after the start, and the starters did play a little bit. I didn't see any of that, but I did see them score I think 21 points. One of them was a pick six. They looked well. The final with the Lions last exhibition game was 38-32 against the Buffalo Bills, of course. The big news for the players is that by this time tomorrow, lots of them will be out of a job, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it is this time of year, the cuts. And even worse is and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, is still the fact that the replacement refs are going to be used. That to me is even worse than, I guess, some of the cuts.
Well, we actually got some response via email on that, and people, for the most part, completely agreed with our assessment that the players should stand with the refs and protest that first game and not play. The NFL's definitively saying no, they're not going to be able to get this done before Wednesday night's game, and therefore that first game will definitely have a replacement ref. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. I do know that President Obama has, of course, asked them to try to get this cleaned up before Wednesday as well. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm not terribly optimistic that they're going to work that out, unfortunately. I'd feel differently if anybody in the NFL were suffering in any way financially, but we know that's not true. The NFL is the wealthiest of all the sports and will continue to be for many years to come. These owners, Jeff, as I think you're well aware, because of the television contracts alone, are profitable before the seasons even begin.
They have a more profitable contract with their TV deals than Major League Baseball, which kind of surprised me. There's a hell of a lot more baseball games.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not quite understanding your note. White Sox, Brewers, Rays. Is that who the Tigers have coming up?
No, those are teams that have all been swept this year by the Kansas City Royals.
Wow. Okay. Well, so be it. Now we add the Tigers to that list. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back, take a look at Michigan State, Boise State, Michigan, Alabama, and then we've got lots of audio that we've got to get to. So everybody stay right where they're at. Good morning to you. It is a Friday here on First Shift. We take the break here on 1310 WDTW, but we'll be back with lots to do. Don't go anywhere.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic update is brought to you by T-Mobile.
Taking a look at your roadways, we're still following that accident that has your left shoulder blocked on 94 eastbound just before 275. And Farmington, both directions, north of Plymouth, that's closed due to road construction. And Grand River Avenue eastbound, just before Grand Boulevard, the right lane's closed until 3 o'clock today. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Check out the latest traffic updates with the all-new Samsung 4G device available from T-Mobile. The buy one, get one Samsung 4G device sale is going on now for a limited time only. New two-year agreement and mail-in rebate card required.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning, and thanks for punching in with First Shift. The college football season actually began last night, and doesn't matter, in my world anyway. But we have a big game tonight. Michigan State plays Boise State. I bring in Anthony and Jeff for their predictions. I'll go first, guys, and I'm just going to be a homie and say that Michigan State wins this thing 23-21.
Are you going to go to someone now?
Sure.
You want us to start talking?
Or? I'll go to Anthony.
All right. I'm going to go with Michigan State, too, in a closer game than I'd probably think. 27-21 Michigan State.
All right. Jeffrey?
I don't know about a score. I think it would be nice if Boise actually showed up, but they lost a lot. They still have Chris Peterson. He finds ways to get the best out of his players. It's just a night game, and it's in East Lansing, and it's going to be trouble. It's going to be disgusting. I think that the Spartans will probably win big.
Really? Win big. All right. Anthony and I are calling it close. You're calling it big. Of course, it'll have to be till Tuesday before we are able to discuss this again. And then tomorrow night in a quote-unquote neutral site at Cowboys Stadium. And what is, for a first game of the season, big for both clubs? Michigan plays Alabama, Nick Saban's Alabama. And, you know, interestingly enough, all the talk has been this week about Nick Saban already making excuses as to why they might not win. I thought that was kind of interesting. But I'll go ahead and pick this one. I think Michigan wins a very, very close game, and I think it is actually going to be a high-scoring game. They'll win 35-31. Jeff, we'll let you go next.
If they go 35, if it's a high-scoring game, I think you're right. It plays into Michigan's favor. I think it'll be high-scoring for one team. I don't think it's going to be so high-scoring for the other. I'll take Alabama.
Okay, and Anthony brings it to you, because I know you've been looking forward to this game for months now.
Yeah, I don't see Michigan winning. Bama's defense is too good. I mean, Bernard Robinson isn't a good quarterback. He's a good playmaker, so I'm taking Bama by 10.
Wow, okay. Well, those are our predictions for this weekend, and we will briefly touch on that when we're in Charlotte on Tuesday. Remind people, Monday, of course, will be a best-of show because it is Labor Day, and most of you are going to be at the parade anyway. Not that I don't want you to listen to the best-of show, but... anyway, excited that we get actually football tonight, tonight. We get football tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's game is a primetime. As I believe tonight's game is a primetime game, is it not? Well, Michigan State doesn't play till 8 o'clock either. So, yeah, these are both primetime games. And being that I have plenty of prep to do for our trip, it'll be able to keep me company as I've got a lot of office work to do before.
By the way,
take off.
The best of that's on Monday,
yes,
is a very strange mix, a very cool mix of going way back to when a year ago, and then even to this week. So
okay.
It mixes it all up.
No, that is interesting. That is interesting. So, well, on Monday we will be in Charlotte. So I guess we'll get our iHeart app up and running, which we of course have on our smartphones, and remind people we should probably do a better job of that anyway. You know, if you download the free iHeart application, you can listen to First Shift no matter where you're at in the world, for that matter. So you might want to go ahead and download that onto your device, whether it be an iPad, a tablet, a smartphone. And it's a great way to listen to programming here on WDTW, all the programming here on WDTW. So you may want to check that out. All right, well, the convention was last night, and we're going to get to that after the bottom of the hour. I just want to get to a couple local stories before we move on to that. And we do have such a busy day, but I promise you we're going to get to as much as we possibly can. Unfortunately for the Detroit Police Department, they had asked the courts to stay the additional 10% cut that the Bing administration had forced onto the police department. In this audio from WXYZ Channel 7, well, the judge ruled in favor of, listen.
The 10% pay cut and 12-hour shifts will remain in effect for Detroit police officers. Tough day for Detroit police. This was not the decision that they were hoping for. Judge Kathleen McDonald made the decision this morning after about 75 minutes of argument, saying it was a tough call on her part. She has lifted the temporary restraining order in the case, and that means the city can continue with 10% pay cuts and 12-hour shifts for Detroit police. The city arguing today that this is about the viability of the city, that painful cuts are necessary, and that police officers are the last of the union employees to see the cuts. The union for the police officers says that morale is already suffering, that there will be an exodus of police officers, and the already high crime rate will continue to go up. Lawyers for the union also argue that the pay cut and work rule changes were illegal because Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, has been suspended. But the judge said the cuts were imposed before the suspension, and so they are lawful. Police officers were furious.
Well, I can tell you what it's already done to me. I have $12.80 in my account. So you do the math. What am I getting with $12.80? That's after my bills. I drive a 2000 Concord. My husband works. This is just paying normal bills. It's not lavishing. I'm not out here rocking diamonds and wearing name brand clothes. I wear the same jeans 2 and 3 times a week. So, I mean, at some point, enough is going to be enough for me.
And at this point right now, the lawyers for the Detroit Police Officers Association say they'll go back to their drawing board, discuss this decision with their members, and they are considering an appeal and take this to the next level.
All right, and we'll, of course, continue to follow that, no question about it. I don't really have time to get to the audio, but the Supreme Court did meet yesterday on 4 ballot proposals and did not make a decision. We would expect that that will happen. Again, the deadline for that is September 7th, so there is a little bit of time. But certainly this brings no relief to anybody on those four issues. And it was a very disappointing day in the courts yesterday. And so we'll, as always, continue to follow that story as well. It just blows my mind how the courts have really just mucked up this entire situation. I got to tell you, I just got a message on Facebook from one of our listeners. It says, okay, Tony, what kind of garbage was that on TV last night? Clint Eastwood was either drunk or he was forced to be there and just did what he did and to get it over with. Then Rubio, that guy, was just foul with the stuff that he was saying. Here's the guy that is that represents the Republicans and with Cuban descent. What was his birth certificate or green card verified? Man, I am glad that portion of the election cycle is completed. As I said, relief, relief, relief. All right, when we come back, we will, of course, listen to Mitt Romney. Get your impressions as well. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. Let's get to the break. We'll come back. We've got a lot to get to. Stay where you're at.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
Checking your Friday morning commute, you're problem-free so far. Just got construction that has Levan Road closed in both directions between Plymouth and Schoolcraft. That's for railroad crossing repairs. Also, Grand River Avenue eastbound just before Grand Boulevard. Right lanes closed until 3 o'clock today. And Farmington Road, both directions north of Plymouth, that's closed for road construction until 3 o'clock today also. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Another day, another traffic jam. It's time to shake up your routine with a Mini. Get a Mini Cooper hardtop for $199 per month on a 36-month lease. So start using your time to customize the Mini that will liven up your life. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW. CW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Get ready, America, for here comes the next latest and greatest thing in aviation. Wow, what could it be? Maybe the airlines are going to drop all of their ridiculous rip-off fees. That'd be great. No, not that kind of aviation. Also, you probably won't find this breakthrough so great. It's the arrival and proliferation of, quote, unmanned vehicle systems. Soon to be buzzing around in the airspace of your own town. Yes, drones, right here at home. Those very same tiny, pilotless, remote-controlled, undetectable planes that the CIA has been secretly using to spy on and bomb people in Pakistan and elsewhere are headed to your and my local police departments, FBI offices, and, well, who knows who else will have these latest and greatest toys. All we know is that Congress, under pressure from Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and other big drone peddlers, directed the Federal Aviation Agency earlier this year to open up civilian airspace to thousands of them by 2015. And in their wisdom, our loosey-goosey lawmakers provided no regulation of who can have drones, how many, or for what purpose. So, prepare to be pestered and monitored, for police agencies and corporate interests are said to be abuzz about getting their own. The first ones are expected to be used for high-altitude surveillance, which is worrisome enough, but a Texas sheriff's office that already has bought a Shadow Hawk drone says it might outfit the little buzzer to fire tear gas and rubber bullets. No worries, though, for the drone industry's lobbying group has drafted a 2-page code of conduct, urging purchasers to, quote, respect the privacy of individuals.
This is Jim Hightower saying, but it's a voluntary code and totally unenforceable. For more information, contact the Electronic Privacy Information Center, epic.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Truppiano.
35 minutes after the hour, Mitt Romney came center stage last night to accept his party's nomination for the presidency of the United States of America.
Mr. Chairman and delegates, I accept your nomination for President of the United States. I do so with humility, deeply moved by the trust you've placed in me. It's a great honor. It's an even greater responsibility. And tonight I'm asking you to join me to walk together to a better future. And by my side, I've chosen a man with a big heart from a small town. He represents the best of America. A man who will always make us very proud, my friend and America's next vice president, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, liar, liar, pants on fire. We'll get to that a little bit later on, I promise you. Mitt goes on to tell the story of his Michigan roots.
My dad had been born in Mexico, and his family had to leave during the Mexican Revolution. I grew up with stories of his family being fed by the U.S. government as war refugees. My dad never made it through college, and he apprenticed as a lath and plaster carpenter. He had big dreams. He convinced my mom, a beautiful young actress, to give up Hollywood to marry him. They moved to Detroit. He led a great... He led a great automobile company and became governor of the great state of Michigan. We were Mormons, and growing up in Michigan, that might have seemed unusual or out of place, but I really don't remember it that way. My friends cared more about what sports teams we followed than what church we went to.
Okay, and then, of course, we know that Mitt left, and this is why he left.
I grew up in Detroit in love with cars and wanted to be a car guy like my dad, but by the time I was out of school, I realized that I had to go out on my own, that if I stayed around Michigan in the same business, I'd never really know if I was getting a break because of my dad. I wanted to go someplace new and prove myself.
Well, and you can decide whether or not he proved himself. Of course, Mitt had to dip his toe into foreign policy, but kind of a mixed performance. Let's listen.
Every American was relieved the day President Obama gave the order and SEAL Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden. On another front, every American is less secure today because he has failed to slow Iran's nuclear threat. In his first TV interview as president, he said we should talk to Iran. We're still talking, and Iran's centrifuges are still spinning. President Obama has thrown allies like Israel under the bus, even as he has relaxed sanctions on Castro's Cuba. He abandoned our friends in Poland by walking away from our missile defense commitments. But he's eager to give Russia's President Putin the flexibility he desires after the election. Under my administration, our friends will see more loyalty, and Mr. Putin will see a little less flexibility and more backbone.
Yeah, but let me remind you that Mitt Romney once said that he wouldn't bother with Osama bin Laden. He wouldn't waste his time trying to find him. So that's the kind of president you would get with Mitt Romney. He then tells a story of Steve Jobs, and we'll let it speak for itself.
Now, we weren't always successful at Bain, but no one ever is in the real world of business. That's what this president doesn't seem to understand. Business and growing jobs is about taking risk sometimes failing, sometimes succeeding, but always striving. It's about dreams. Usually it doesn't work out exactly as you might have imagined. Steve Jobs was fired at Apple, and then he came back and changed the world. It's the genius of the American Free Enterprise System to harness the extraordinary creativity and talent and industry of the American people with a system that's dedicated to creating tomorrow's prosperity, not trying to redistribute today's.
Okay, I don't know that anybody really disagrees with that. And, of course, when you don't have enough good things to say about yourself, well, then you've got to make sure that you find something to say about your opponent. Well, this is a, I don't know, backhanded compliment? Let's listen.
How many days have you woken up feeling that something really special was happening in America? Many of you felt that way on Election Day 4 years ago. Hope and change had a powerful appeal. But tonight, I'd ask a simple question. If you felt that excitement when you voted for Barack Obama, shouldn't you feel that way now that he's President Obama? You know there's something wrong with the kind of job he's done as president when the best feeling you had was the day you voted for him. The president hasn't disappointed you because he wanted to. The president has disappointed America because he hasn't led America in the right direction. He took office without the basic qualification that most Americans have, and one that was essential to the task at hand. He had almost no experience working in a business. Jobs to him are about government.
Well, and of course, we profoundly disagree on that. The Mitt goes on, Mitt Willard, I'm sorry, goes on to say that, well, you know, being the nice guy that he is, he really wish Obama would have done better.
I wish President Obama had succeeded because I want America to succeed. But his promises gave way to disappointment and division. This isn't something we have to accept. Now is the moment when we can do something, and with your help, we will do something.
All right, and then we all end with Mitt saying that, frankly, and this, of course, goes to his quote-unquote multi-million dollar success, and, well, fair enough. This is what he said.
The centerpiece of the president's entire re-election campaign is attacking success. Is it any wonder that someone who attacks success has led the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression? In America, we celebrate success. We don't apologize for success.
And there's no question. And listen, I have been the first to say that I don't begrudge Mitt Romney a dollar of his success. I begrudge the way he made his millions. I think everybody should be successful. I've always been hopeful that everybody could do well. But, you know, at the end of the day, folks, somebody has to pick up the garbage. Somebody has to vacuum carpets. There's dignity in those jobs. Those are not jobs that that should be to look down on. Not everybody can be a multimillionaire, but nobody has ever, you know, and honestly, nobody has ever criticized Mitt Romney for being successful. What they've criticized is the way he amassed his great fortune. He's done it by betting against the American dollar. He's done it by laying off American people. And he's done it by moving jobs to China and other places, dealing with communist countries, literally dealing with communist countries, all the while pretending that he doesn't have tolerance for them. This is ridiculous. You don't amass the kind of wealth that Mitt Romney has by doing it the old-fashioned way, and God bless him for that. His speech left most people flat, and this was supposed to be the speech of his career, was it? And that's the question that we really need to ask ourselves this morning. Did Mitt Romney really give the speech of a lifetime? Did he convince the American people last night that he is the right guy to lead us into the future? Well, polls will tell us what they'll tell us today, but the bottom line is, he really hasn't moved the dial in a way that matters, at least matters enough at this point, to make him a front runner. Now, what's odd about that is, listen, we'll be honest about it. The economy's not where it should be. We're not creating the kind of dynamic jobs we need to be. But there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because we have a Congress that refuses to meet this president even a third of the way, let alone halfway, let alone any other way. when you have a plan, as the president does, as you have a jobs program that would have created lots of very good middle-class union jobs around this great country of ours, if you would have allowed him to build, rebuild roads, rebuild schools, rebuild infrastructure, well, then you would see the unemployment needle moving in the right direction. But the Republicans knew that they wouldn't be able to take credit for it, so they wouldn't allow it to happen. You know, it's interesting when we go back to Paul Ryan's speech from the night before, which the media has panned repeatedly. In fact, it was the news yesterday, as it should have been. Headlines, the most dishonest convention speech ever. And I could go on. The Fox News op-ed, Paul Ryan earned gold for greatest number of blatant lies. I could go on. Paul Ryan, breathtakingly dishonest speech. Paul Ryan's attack on Obama may hurt his own credibility. And I could go on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Romney-Ryan ticket that still can't find themselves. They can't define themselves. And in fact, if you listened to Mitt Romney's speech last night, what you didn't hear is how he will do what he promises to do. You know, what's really funny, he says that he will create 12 million jobs in the next 4 years. Jeff sent me a story 3 weeks ago, that says no matter what happens, the economy will create 12 million jobs in the next 4 years. Well, how are you going to take credit? Because honestly, it's what we've done now that sets up the next 4 years. Oh, Mitt Romney, I wish you well. I truly do. And we have more audio that we'll get to after the break. But if last night's speech was what we can expect from a Romney presidency, I think that we're going to be saying President Barack Obama for 4 more years. A quick break. If you've got some thoughts, would love to hear them. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. A good Friday morning to you as the convention on the Republican side is finally over, as I said, relief. We'll take the break here on 1310 WDTW and be right back.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WGTW.
10 minutes,
Tony Trupiano.
Thanks. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Just trying to get through. I want to get through some of this audio. I think I'm going to save the Clint Eastwood stuff for a little later on in the show. Jeb Bush, the brother of George Bush. Jeb, of course, the former governor of Florida, spoke last night, and he had a little message for President Obama as well.
He is a man of integrity, courage, and honor. And during incredibly challenging times, he kept us safe. So, Mr. President, it is time to stop blaming your predecessor for your failed economic policies.
You know, I find that, I mean, I understand why they did that, and of course, they didn't invite the president. The vice president was off hunting or something, former vice president, that is, Dick Cheney. And the only mention, to my knowledge, of George W. Bush was Jeb speaking of his brother last night. Amazes me. I'm warning you one more time. A Mitt Romney presidency brings back a lot of Bush appointees, and we know what they did the first time. Do we really want to revisit that? Okay, Marco Rubio, who was on the short list as well of vice presidential contenders, although he had a lot of baggage. So I would imagine that's why when they vetted him, they didn't do it. Is supposedly a rising star in Florida. He spoke last night at the Republican National Convention, and he starts with talking about hope and change.
Sadly, millions of Americans are insecure about their future. But instead of inspiring us by reminding us of what makes us special, he divides us against each other. He tells Americans that they're worse off because others are better off, that rich people got rich by making other people poor. Hope and change has become divide and conquer.
And unfortunately, the president's right and Marco Rubio is wrong, but he goes on, and I'm going to really get into this on the other side of the audio, but he goes on to say, to talk about the man Obama. This is what Marco Rubio said.
Let me be clear, so no one misunderstands. Our problem with President Obama isn't that he's a bad person. Okay? By all accounts, he too is a good husband and a good father, and thanks to lots of practice, a good golfer. Our problem is not that he's a bad person. Our problem is that he's a bad president. You think he's watching tonight? Because his new slogan for his campaign is the word forward. Forward. A government that spends $1 trillion more than it takes in? An $800 billion stimulus that created more debt than jobs? A government intervention into health care paid for with higher taxes and cuts to Medicare? Scores of new rules and regulations? These ideas don't move us forward. These ideas move us backwards. These are tired and old big government ideas that have failed every time and everywhere they've been tried. These are ideas that people come to America to get away from.
Well, and what, of course, Senator Rubio fails to mention is that every time we have been in economic hardship in this country, it has been the Democrat and the big ideas of Democrats that have turned the country around. And again, had they had listened to this president, and they will in the next term, we will also turn this country around. Jeff, you had sent me a story yesterday from The Hill, which is a D.C.-based publication, about how many people, how many Republicans, delegates at the convention had really good things to say about President Obama, the president, the man, that he was well-liked, that he was well-spoken, that he was a good politician. It's just that his policies were failures and that they understand that they're, well, you would call it Obama envy, and I think I'd have to agree with you. I think that within the Republican Party, there is a lot of Obama envy.
Well, and look at what, I mean, think about the knocks that they've put on Obama. I thought it was hilarious that they, you know, he pals around with Hollywood. And then they trot out Clint Eastwood last night, and they're talking about John Voight. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought you were trashing him for hanging out with Hollywood types. Now you're parading your Hollywood types around. I mean, obviously you're envious, and you're trying to find anybody.
We're gonna get to the Clint Eastwood stuff in the next hour or the hour after that. But we're gonna definitely get to the Clint Eastwood stuff. It is beyond bizarre. It was as terribly done. And I understand that he went off script. It wasn't what he was supposed to do. And I'm sure there are those within the GOP today that are profoundly disappointed. I imagine that the pundits are all over this. As they should be, because it was just really, really bad, bad theater, any way you want to slice it. But at the end of the day, you know, one of the things that Mitt Romney has to do, and let's just be honest about this, he has to be able to connect to the American people. And again, going referencing that article that was in the Hill publication yesterday, President Obama can connect. And it was interesting. One of the statistics in there, 65% of the people that were polled said, although they didn't agree with his policies, they liked him. You ready for this one? 25% of that same group like Mitt Romney. That's a problem for Mitt Romney. And I don't believe, Jeff, his speech last night did anything at all to help him. It was no different than every other stump speech we've heard him give. It was gaffe-free, I'll give him that. But beyond that, he didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. And in fact, that's the problem. He didn't tell us anything. It's just inconceivable that you have this opportunity. Millions of people watching you. And you don't give out one fact. You don't say how you're going to do anything. You just bash your opponent. You talk about your own success. You tell a couple personal quips, and you expect America to fall in love with you. Mitt, it just doesn't work that way.
Isn't that the whole point, though? I don't know that the point was for him to lay out his plan. And I think he's been quoted as saying, well, wouldn't the Democrats love for me to do that? To throw out a plan so that you can just trash it. And I think that's kind of a funny way to look at it. But also, it wasn't the main point of the whole RNC. To me, it seems is like to try and humanize Mitt Romney because he seems so robotic and so stiff. And they're trying to really make you connect with him. And, oh, he's a regular guy and he cares about people.
It didn't work.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Ann Romney worked with some people. But, you know, Mitt's speech last night, I guess, didn't.
Well, yeah, in fact, you know, I said, and I'll do it now, we have just enough time, I said I would juxtapose Ann Romney's speech against her husband Willard's speech, and Ann had a far better speech. She certainly connected with people in a much more humanistic way. She's softer, not just because she's a female, she's softer, she's more compassionate, she comes off as more charismatic. She's not running for the presidency, and you don't vote for somebody because of their wife, do you? I don't think so.
Well, and that's the thing. A friend of mine said, well, I feel real dirty, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, I watched Ann Romney, and I really like her. And I'm like, that's fine. You could like, you know, what Ann Romney had to say last night. And then she also said, though, well, I haven't heard Michelle speak. And I'm like, well, wait, because you'll like, you know, you'll love Michelle even more.
Absolutely. Tuesday night, in fact, you can listen to Michelle Obama in Charlotte. All right, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour. Jane Felice Boudreau, candidate for Oakland County Sheriff, when we continue with a story you've got to hear to believe. A lot to get to in the next hour. Please go nowhere. First Shift has a jam-packed show for you. We're going to get to all of it, but we need to do this first.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Checking your Friday morning commute, you're problem-free so far. Just got construction that has Levan Road closed in both directions between Plymouth and Schoolcraft. That's for railroad crossing repairs. Also, Grand River Avenue eastbound just before Grand Boulevard. Right lanes closed until 3 o'clock today. And Farmington Road, both directions north of Plymouth, that's closed for road construction until 3 o'clock today also. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. We deserve better, says Mitt Romney, the newly minted Republican presidential nominee, telling the faithful in Tampa last night that if elected, he'll restore the U.S. economy, saying President Obama has failed.
Hope and change had a powerful appeal. But tonight, I'd ask a simple question. If you felt that excitement when you voted for Barack Obama, shouldn't you feel that way now that he's President Obama?
Clint Eastwood introducing Romney with a blast at President Obama.
When somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
The actor's rambling, unscripted speech has drawn mixed reviews. When the head of the Fed speaks, investors listen. Chairman Ben Bernanke gives his assessment of the economy today. The markets are looking for hints that the Fed will provide new fiscal stimulus. Add gas pains to Hurricane Isaac's legacy. The price at the pump spiking because of a production slowdown in the Gulf. $3.83 for regular now, up a dime this week. This is NBC News Radio. It's weakening, but Isaac continues to leave a watery path, dropping more than a foot of rain while lumbering through Louisiana. NBC's Jay Gray says the storm is now a tropical depression.
Across the Gulf South, trees and power lines have been snapped and tossed to the ground. Hundreds of thousands are still without electricity. And as the system moved through, it spawned tornadoes in Mississippi, splintering homes in Pascagoula.
A three-judge federal panel has struck down a Texas law requiring voters to show picture IDs at the polls. The judges say the state failed to show that the legislation would not harm low-income and minority voters. The Pentagon says a former Navy SEAL may face legal action for writing a book about the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. And the tip jar is going high-tech. The New York Post says several Big Apple coffee shops now have installed dip jars. Instead of a jar filled with coins, you get a jar containing a credit card scanner. A single swipe leaves a $1 tip. There goes the sorry, no change excuse. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We get you parts fast. And thanks to Pennzoil, we found you something even faster. Right now at Advance, you can enter to win a VIP trip for two in February to the big races down in Florida. Get parts fast, see fast cars, only at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com/Pennzoil for program rules and to enter.
Right now, get Labor Day savings at the Home Depot with 10% off select special order Anderson windows and patio doors. Savings like that put Anderson's famous craftsmanship well within your reach. So reach out, come in, and save. The timing is perfect. And select special order Anderson windows and patio doors are 10% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 12th, U.S. only. See store for details.
It's the new Pepsi Challenge. Several bottlers report that Pepsi is working on a new formula for Diet Pepsi and may roll it out next year. The company has no issues with how it makes Diet Pepsi, but because it uses the chemically fragile aspartame sweetener, it's had problems preserving the taste through the temperature changes and jostling cans and bottles from transport. There may be a new worst-performing movie ever, The Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure. The live-action kids film was released in more than 2,100 theaters nationwide Wednesday. It made only $100,000, meaning it averaged $47 per screen. With multiple screenings a day, that means a lot of totally empty theaters. There's a good chance that Oogie Loves will set a new low for opening weekend performance. Performing decently so far are stock futures as Wall Street waits for a key policy speech from the Fed chief this morning. S&P futures up 9 points, NASDAQ futures up 20. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, August 31st, 2012. We have an amazing story, as I told you in the last hour, to tell in this first part of this hour. I'm just going to get right to my guests because I want to make sure we have enough time to get through the issues we need to get through. Many of you are aware, of course, that the sheriff of Oakland County is an elected position. Michael Bouchard is the current Oakland County sheriff, but his opponent on November 6th is one Jane Felice Boudreau. Jane is a 26-year veteran of law enforcement who has enjoyed a productive and proactive career within the Pontiac Police Department as a police cadet, the Oakland County Sheriff's Office as a deputy sheriff, deputy supervisor, substation sergeant, and also as a patrol officer for the village of Holly. During her career as a police officer, she has dedicated her adult life to the protection of citizens and businesses of Oakland County, having worked within the communities in which she served. In addition to police work, she has been involved with many police associations across the state of Michigan, as well as other states within the U.S. She joins us this morning to tell a horrific tale and is asking for an investigation into the Oakland County Sheriff's Office for a profoundly good reason. I welcome to the show this morning candidate Jane Felice Boudreau. Jane, thank you so much for being with us today.
Tony, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Listen, I think it's best that I just let you tell this story because it is fantastic any way you want to look at it, and I would agree that we need some answers.
Well, I can tell you that I was contacted by not only several citizens, but the rumors, of course, at the sheriff's office, and a lot of the officers and the deputies that work at the sheriff's office quite frequently call me for things that are going on and, of course, need to remain nameless because of the continued retaliation that occurs when the command staff finds out that people are giving me information. But on Saturday, August 18th, the sheriff's office stated that it received information about fights that had broken out in the city of Pontiac during the Dream Cruise. And in response to that, the sheriff dispatched their helicopters, their American Eurocopter helicopters. And what the response is and what I'm hearing from witnesses on the ground, and I got to tell you, Tony, being a cop for as long as I've been, I don't pick up the Oakland Press or the Free Press and read it and think everything in it is accurate. I just don't. I decided to go down to Pontiac myself and to talk to witnesses. I've had people that were at the incident call me. They were able to get a hold of me through my website. And what happened that evening is that the helicopter actually came so low to the ground that one of the witnesses told me that they thought that the helicopter was actually crashing. People were jumping and crawling underneath a motorhome that was there at the incident. And because of the rotor wash from the turbine helicopter, rocks and debris was flying off roofs. Several classic cars were damaged. Ambulances were called. Two people that I know of for sure went to the hospital. And, you know, this just leads me to, you know, so many questions. Number one is, you know, the Federal Aviation Regulation has rules. And, you know, the rules are very clear. And I'm just going to just kind of quote the Federal Aviation Rule 91.119 states that talks about minimum safe altitude. And it talks about the fact that an aircraft must maintain an altitude of 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a hazardous radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft in a congested area. It also says that it must maintain an altitude of 500 feet above a surface of non-congested areas. So they're talking about open water and, you know, where there's no people around. But the biggest thing is so that it doesn't cause any imminent danger to the, you know, to the people below. And this is clear that this didn't happen. And in fact, in the Oakland Press, the undersheriff was interviewed, and he basically, his response to this is just ludicrous. What he says is that, you know, the pilot was doing his job by, and he was quoted to say, lighting it off. And we, you know, anybody who's used a flashlight tactically understands that if you have a flashlight, Tony, and you're holding that above something that you're looking at, and you get it super close to the ground, we know that that area that the flashlight lights up is small. If you pull the flashlight away from the ground, the area in which it lights up becomes much larger. So it doesn't make sense. The aircraft light is 60 million candle power. That helicopter could have been 1,500 feet over the air, and it would substantially light up the entire area. The thing is with an aviation helicopter and airborne law enforcement, and I'm very familiar with airborne law enforcement. I was a sergeant at the sheriff's office. I was a training sergeant with the sheriff's office, and I know pilots within the aviation unit. And tactically speaking, an airborne law enforcement officer's job is to be an observation platform. It's to be able to conduct direction from the air. That's why police vehicles have numbers written on the top of their roof, so that from the air, the police aviators, the spotter, not the pilot, would direct, you know, the patrol cars on the ground and tell them where to respond, where they're going to get the most bang for their buck. So if you see a crowd of people fighting, that helicopter's job, the spotter's job in the helicopter, is to direct the officers on the ground to the location to respond appropriately. When people are taking off and they see law enforcement coming and they start running away, it's the helicopter tactical officer's job to say, they're running north, they're running south, set up a perimeter, and to videotape it. So for any common sense person in law enforcement or an airborne law enforcement officer to take a turbine engine helicopter and drop it to, you know, less than 100 feet off the ground to have, you know, tents knocked over, the chairs were knocked over, grills were ruined. I mean, the citizens are basically, I had one citizen tell me that she feels like she lives in South Central now, that the sheriff's office has taken over Pontiac because the helicopter is continuously flying low.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. They get a call that there's a fight going on. Is sending a helicopter a normal reaction to that kind of call?
Well, the helicopters, the deputies in the helicopter, basically what they do is they're monitoring radio traffic. So it's just like if there was a situation where there's an armed robbery in progress, or there's a breaking and entering in progress, or there's an alarm on a building. The helicopter officers may hear that call and respond to that call to be the first one. They can, you know, if there's a burglary or an alarm, they can check the roof of a building, or an officer on the ground, you know, would have to respond, get a ladder, climb up on the top. They can look to see if anybody's gaining access or entry. So it's not unusual that the helicopter would respond to the situation. What is highly unusual and against federal regulations and against department policy is that the helicopter lowers itself to a point where the rotor wash, you know, what happens is that when the rotor is spinning around, it sends air to the ground. The air then bounces off the ground and bounces back up to that rotor and bounces back down. Those are all things that happen that you suck. And so what happens is when the air is bouncing back and forth, that's why there's minimum standards, because you don't come that close. After I retired from law enforcement, I actually worked for the Detroit Medical Center for 3 years. And I can tell you that when we had a patient that was critical and needed to be flown to a trauma center, they would come into our emergency room and they would be flown to a trauma center. The first thing that we did by our policy is that when the helicopter was coming in, you know, University of Michigan or St. Mary's helicopter, the first thing that we did is that we would stop all the traffic entering and exiting from the hospital grounds. We would stop people from getting out of their vehicles. And nobody came near that helicopter until it was landed, and when it was taking off, it was the exact same process, because there's wood chips on the ground and rocks and stones on the ground, and then all you need is somebody who's trying to get a look at that helicopter getting too close and having something impaled in their eye. It's dangerous, and that's why we keep a safe distance.
Well, and
that's why the rules are in place.
And obviously the rules were not adhered to. We need to take a quick break here, Jane, so stay where you're at. We'll come back and talk about it. Obviously, Mike Bouchard had to respond to this, or did he? And has he? And how has he? And we'll get to all of that in a moment. If you want more information, by the way, on Jane Felice Boudreau, let me direct you to the website, BoudreauForSheriff.com, and that's BOUDREAU for Sheriff.com. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be back with Jane Felice Boudreau right after we take this break.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Your Friday morning commute is moving along quite well. No accidents or slowdowns anywhere. Got road construction as you reduce down to two lanes on northbound 275 between 94 and Ann Arbor Road. Same thing on the flip side, southbound 275 between Ann Arbor Road and 94. And we got construction as you reduce down to one lane each direction on 12 Mile at Losser. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest, candidate for Oakland County Sheriff, Jane Felice Boudreau. Jane, we just, because we have such a short amount of time left, how did Mike Bouchard respond to what was obviously an incredibly dangerous and irresponsible action by one of his officers?
Well, Tony, that's what's interesting, is whenever something is controversial or there's a bad decision that was made, our chief law enforcement officer doesn't respond. He sends his undersheriff, Mike McCabe, to respond to anything, again, that happens to be controversial. You'll see Mike McCabe's name all over the papers. And in fact, I spoke at the Pontiac City Council meeting, last week. And, again, you know, I get this information from various sources, but a retired Pontiac officer let me know that the sheriff's office was scrambling to get a tape because the Pontiac City Council meetings office or the meetings are recorded. And so they were scrambling to get the tape of what I had said regarding the incident in Pontiac. Because one of the things that I brought up is in my many, many years at the sheriff's office, I can tell you, I've worked grand scale events. I was there when the Pope came in the 80s, when the Silver Dome was, you know, crawling at the seams. We've worked World Cup soccer. We've worked Super Bowl. And at no time have I ever seen a response to a fight handled in such a manner. Not only do we have the officers that are paid, but we also hire many, many officers on overtime for such events. Heartbeats, Needs, Dream Cruise, etc. We've done Dream Cruise for years. My concern is that the response in the city of Pontiac was a much different response than if it would have happened in Birmingham or Royal Oak or Rochester. And that's where I think we need to look at this whole situation from a variety of angles. But to answer your question is Mike Bouchard never answers these kind of questions. He's all over the paper talking about the jail overcrowding issue, blaming the judges. But when it comes to something that could and probably will end up in a court through a lawsuit, he remains neutral.
Well,
and in fact, lets his henchmen do his speaking for him.
Well, you know, first of all, and we certainly called out Mike Bouchard the other day for pointing fingers at the judges for the overcrowding situation when he has as much responsibility for that as anybody. But certainly, Jane, as it comes to this incident during the Dream Cruise, there are tinges of racism to this, in my opinion. But beyond that, there are people that were actually damaged, harmed. There was property that is damaged and harmed. And yes, there are going to be lawsuits. This is going to cost the county money.
Right. And under this current sheriff, I need you to know, and people can look this up. If you're very concerned about, you know, what we're talking about today, I would encourage people. The internet is a wonderful thing. There have been more federal lawsuits against this sheriff. He's been named in more than any other sheriff in the history of the department. And that, to me, speaks volume. What are we doing wrong at the sheriff's office that we continually allow situations to go on? And from within their own department. I mean, it's not just outside. It's not inmates. It's not just people that are, you know, having their property damaged by the helicopter. It's their own people. And that, to me, screams that there needs to be change. And you know, to quote his own Republican Party last night, you know, if the person's not doing the job, maybe it's time to let them go.
Well, certainly you're not going to get a disagreement out of me. I mean, Jane, there's so many things that concern me about this incident. You and I talked on the phone yesterday, and as soon as I had a chance to read the press release that you sent, I got in touch with you immediately because so many people are put in harm's way. And again, we're talking about, and you know, and I have to put some of this on L. Brooks Patterson. We're talking about a community like Pontiac that I have roots in. And I own two restaurants in Pontiac. I lived there for a long time. This is a community I care about. One of my children went to school there. I happen to have a great deal of love for the city of Pontiac. You know, L. Brooks Patterson ignores Pontiac. Mike Bouchard treats it like it's South Central Los Angeles. And it's just wrong, and it's disrespectful to the citizens of that beautiful city.
It is. And Tony, I'm from Pontiac. My family owns stores in the city and right outside of the city, Felice's Markets, for years and years and years. And I still have, you know, a cousin that owns a produce company and a cousin that owns a floral shop, not only within two of the hospitals there, but right outside in the outskirts in Waterford. I graduated from Pontiac Catholic High School, and in fact, in 1982, I was Pontiac's junior miss. So, I mean, I go back, you know, my entire life to the city of Pontiac. I have cousins that still own a party store in the city. The crime in the city, it hurts my heart too. And, you know, and I'm not saying that every person that I talked to said that the sheriff's office, you know, responding and now taking over the Pontiac Police Department is a bad thing. What they're telling me is that the response time to respond to calls when they call the sheriff's office, it is better than it was with the city of Pontiac. However, I happened to be at a football game last night, and I had somebody introduce me, and I gave a gentleman my card. This gentleman actually served in the military, in the Marines, with my uncle years and years. I mean, 50 years plus years ago, he recognized my name. And he told me that he was just in the city of Pontiac yesterday because his daughter had been hit at a business there, that the police were called out. A report was made. When they went back to get the report, the officer never turned the report in. So have things changed that much since the sheriff's office has taken over? I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure either. And, you know, Jane, it's time for change. There's no question about that. I think that Mike Bouchard has become way too comfortable. And not only that, there are just times where whether it's for the good or for the bad, Jane, as you know, when you are the top dog, you have to stand in front of the people that you serve and you have to show leadership. That's what he's not doing by sending an undersheriff or a deputy or whoever he wants to send in his stead. Just tells me that he's hiding, that he doesn't want to face the truth. And there's just something inherently so wrong about that. Well, Jane, you represent that kind of change. And I promised you yesterday, and I'll promise you on the air right now, we will have you back again before the November 6th election so we can have a chance to talk a little bit more about you and not necessarily about this incident, which is horrific. And I certainly feel badly for those that had to experience it. The website again is BoudreauxForSheriff.com, and that's BoudreauxForSheriff.com sheriff.com. We'll get it on the Facebook page to make it a little easier for you. Jane, thank you so much for explaining all this to us this morning, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Okay, great.
All right, Jane Felice Boudreaux once again. A quick break. Stacey Stewart, trying to work hard to help protect our families. We'll explain all that. And on the other side, this is First Shift. I am Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
Let's take a look at your roadways, and there are no slowdowns or accidents to report, but we do have a ladder on the roadway. That's on 96 eastbound, just after Wyoming, so of course use some caution in that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Another day, another traffic jam. It's time to shake up your routine with a Mini. Get a Mini Cooper hardtop for $199 per month on a 36-month lease. So start using your time to customize the Mini that will liven up your life. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Protests around the nation against Mr. 1% and the economy he would bring to working America were timed to coincide with the day Mitt Romney accepted the GOP nomination to run for president. Stand-up Chicago's Elizabeth Parisian was among the activists, workers, clergy people, and students who protested at Republican headquarters in Chicago.
The job that Mitt Romney doesn't outsource are, you know, the wages are going down, people are getting fewer and fewer hours, no benefits. And our message is that a Romney economy doesn't work for working families. It's not good for America. And so we're coming out across the country to deliver that exact message. We don't want a Romney economy.
The protests against a Romney economy oppose his model of so-called economic success, outsourcing, tax breaks for the rich, while increasing the tax burden of the middle class, the destruction of popular social safety net programs like Medicare and Social Security, and the low-road minimum wage jobs that are the signature of many Bain Capital-owned companies. Armand Greer is a server and bartender earning $4.95 an hour plus tips in Illinois.
I see the economic plan that Romney and Ryan are pushing out there, and there's nothing in there that actually benefits the working and middle class. If you're definitely for the working and middle classes, and you want a fair livable wage for everyone in this country, and not just profits for the 1%, come November, vote for the person that is vested in your interest.
Nissan workers in Canton, Mississippi are interested in getting a real voice at work by joining the United Auto Workers. An effort has been underway for months there to bring the 3,000 workers employed at that plant into the UAW. Rafael Martinez is a pro-union Nissan worker who says the organizing effort is going well.
despite an effort by Nissan management to disparage the union and intimidate workers into being anti-union.
This is important because we need to have a voice in what goes on. This is not a us against them, but it's how we can work better together. We would just like to have a voice. We would like to have the opportunity to decide for ourselves whether to have a union or not. When we think of turning about why we need a union, it's the kind of hours that we work on the weekend. If we work Saturday, we got to be there at 4:30. We don't get up to 2:12 in the morning. Just about 2 weeks ago, we had a fellow employee that on his way back home fell asleep at the wheel and died.
Martinez says Nissan workers in Canton, Mississippi haven't had a raise in nearly 5 years and have seen their health care benefits erode. The UAW wants Nissan to agree to a set of fair representation principles before any union election is held so workers get a truly fair shot at deciding whether or not to join the UAW.
But the election is not going to be fair, and we don't want it. But we are encouraging the fact that, you know, we are making strides. You know, we are moving ahead. Things are looking real good. You know, we feel good about what we're doing, and we feel very, very confident about our chances.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. As you know, we have talked repeatedly. We've spent dozens of hours talking about the Protect Our Jobs initiative, which is now looking to protect our families as it will appear on the ballot. It's a constitutional amendment which guarantees the right to collective bargaining. If you missed it the other day, we played the latest television ad that is playing right now. Jeff, if you would.
This plan was on the death list. Now we've added a shift and we're expanding. Our industry is coming back and we are fighting for our future. We're making vehicles better than ever, bringing jobs back to America from Mexico. We have paid the government ahead of schedule. We have all put together some tough times. Collective bargaining is what got us here. Management and workers negotiating. It's not just about my job. It's about this plan, this whole community. Protect collective bargaining. Vote yes.
Well, that voice is one Stacey Stewart, who is no stranger, actually, to this show. And her and I actually appeared together on the Ed Schultz television show not too long ago. And I'm excited to welcome back Stacey Stewart to First Shift. Hey, Stacey, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. How are you this morning, Tony?
You're becoming a superstar, I tell you. This is wonderful. You do have a real story. You have a great story, but more importantly, you have a real story. Stacey, why don't we remind people from the last time you were on the show what had happened? What happened to your job and what happened once you got it back? Because it's a great and it's a real story.
Well, my real story is that my job was put out there when the auto industry were being challenged with the bad economy, and I was laid off for a year and a half, wasn't sure what was going to happen with me, and here we go 3 years later, and I'm back to work, and we're working hard and building world-class cars here at Chrysler, and it's a different world than it was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, part of your story includes you had, I believe, a daughter that was about to go to college. You were living over an hour away from work. I mean, your personal situation wasn't great. And then on top of it, you lose your job. You've got no idea how you're going to take care of your family. I mean, you know, Stacey, let's be honest about this. You know, George Bush put us in a terrible economic position, and had it not been for President Obama stepping up and providing those bridge loans, God only knows where you'd be today.
I don't know where I would be today. I'm really sure that I wouldn't have my job today. My plant was going to be scheduled to close. I was supposed to leave out of state to even try to find a job. Like I said, my daughter wasn't going to be able to finish college. There was no way I was going to be able to afford it. If these government loans wouldn't have came through, Michigan would be in a bad, bad situation right now.
Well, no question about it. Now I got to ask the tough question. How does collective bargaining factor into this?
Oh, my God. Collective bargaining has so much to do with everything that's going on. People, they don't understand that this is not a way for the unions to strong-arm management and strong-arm corporations. It's actually the opposite. If we don't get this on the ballot, we'll be strong-armed. All collective bargaining does is give the people a right to speak up for what your job is. right for your safety, a right for your wages. It's nothing that, the union are doing to try to get over. We don't make the decisions. The company still makes all the decisions. It's just a way that you can be safe every day. I'm an electrician. I'm an electrician here at the plant. And for me personally, it ensures that I go home safe every day to my family. If my health and safety wasn't negotiated, corporations would get away with whatever they can. You know, I wouldn't be provided personal protective equipment to do my job every day.
Oh, you know, I find it fascinating because, you know, you take a great deal of pride in certainly in being a mom. You take a great deal of pride in being an auto worker. You take a great deal of pride in being a union member and being a member of society and, you know, being an American. You represent, I think, Stacey, in the most beautiful, sincere way, how right things are when we do things properly, when we follow the rules, when we cooperate, when we negotiate. I mean, you really do represent in a way, and I'm trying to avoid the cliche of poster child, but in a way, I think you kind of are the poster child for why collective bargaining works.
It does work, and thank you, Tony. You know what? And this is just, I'm one person. I'm one story. I can tell you another 1,000 here in the plant with me, 2,000 employees. I can tell you, when I was out there, I was one of the people out there getting signatures for the ballot, and I'm out there getting signatures and hearing all kind of stories from everybody, not just UAW members, from Kroger employees, from nurses, from everybody. I hear so many stories, and we are going to be doomed if we do not get this on the ballot.
Well, there's no question that's true. You know, oftentimes, and Stacey, you and I both heard this from a lot of people. Well, this is just a union initiative, and this only helps union people. And actually, nothing could be further from the truth. The right of, you know, and this is actually democracy in action. The right to just to collective bargain, period, is not just a union right. It's a workers' right.
Definitely, and people have to understand the things that the unions fight for. They become part of industry standards. It's not that this is just something that a union person has. No, when we fight for things, then other small companies benefit also. And people don't realize how huge this is, how much it impacts everything. It's huge.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we talk and when we, you know, we think about, okay, well, what we're working on the show and what's the best way to educate people. And certainly when I had the opportunity, because you and I had visited before, we'd actually met before, I thought, well, you know, this is really a great opportunity because you do have such a real story. It is compelling. And I often go back and I'll say this one more time, and I've got to give credit to Bob King and his staff of vice presidents and negotiators. Without the union in this struggle to save not just the automotive industry, but manufacturing, and not just in Detroit, but in the Midwest and perhaps in the country, had it not been for collective bargaining, we would not be where we're at right now. And Stacey, you and I both know the only jobs that are being created in Michigan right now are automotive and automotive-related jobs. Without the UAW leadership, this never would have happened.
You are 110% correct. You are totally correct, and it wouldn't have happened. This is totally a fight against democracy. We have to do to get out there. I see construction workers. I have construction workers at my plant because we're building a new paint shop. We're building a new body shop. We have a future. I'm talking to construction workers out there that's putting up the steel that come from all the southern states who haven't been working for a year, who've traveled all over the country just to stay at work. They're happy to be here. They're happy to leave their families for months at a time to get here and do some work. It's benefiting everybody.
Well, it does benefit everybody, and we just can't make that point enough. And so people should just get used to it, because I'm going to be talking about this over and over and over again. The reality, and I just want people to understand, as we look at what this Republican legislature here in the state of Michigan has done to the middle-class worker, especially to the union worker, but certainly to the middle-class worker, in the state of Michigan over the last year and a half plus, has been devastating. Hundreds of bills have been passed that take away our rights in the workplace, and not just union rights, again, worker rights. Stacey, I don't know that we can underscore enough how important this constitutional amendment is, and when they go to the polls on November 6th that they need to make sure that they support this initiative, or life as we know it, and I'm not exaggerating, can literally disappear.
Literally, yes, yes. People, this is so important to be heard. We got over 700,000 signatures on the ballot. We got over 700,000 signatures, and they don't even know if they want to bring it to the ballot. How insulting is that for Michigan citizens? How can 700,000 people, and that was just because it was a short amount of time, I'm sure we could have made a million. How can 700 people's voices not be heard? How can you just be brushed off? And it's simply because big corporations have the money to say, no, we're not going to do this. We cannot be brushed off. We cannot be not taken literally.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I guess I'll ask you this question. I mean, as you work your way through the plant, as you talk to people, because I know you're constantly an activist, as you talk to people in your own plant, do they understand the importance of this initiative and why they need to support it?
Unfortunately, everybody didn't. We have a new young workforce. We have 1,000 new employees that we just hired, and they were young. They didn't understand what right to work meant. It is worded in a way that you think that it's such a good thing. We can't be fooled by false slogans. It's worded in a way that people think, oh, you have a right to work. No, it's taking away your rights at work. No, it's making you work for less. Once we got out there and started talking to our members and telling them what it really was, their whole mindset turned around. And that's what got to happen to a lot of people out there. Some people are fooled by the false slogan. They do not understand that this is really a bad thing for Michigan workers.
No, they don't understand that. You're right. And somebody once said on this show, whoever coined the phrase right to work better have been paid a lot of money, because, man, has it fooled a lot of people.
Fooled a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Stacey, first of all, I want to thank you for spending some time with us this morning, number one. Number two, I want to thank you for continuing to tell your real story, because it is a real story. And more importantly, thank you for your activism. Without people like you, the passion that you have, the intelligence that you have, the courage that you have, the hope is something that we wouldn't have. So thank you so much for everything you continue to give to the cause of democracy. I happen to be a big fan of yours.
Thank you so much, Tony, and I love your show. And you people out there, you Michigan voters, you get out there on November 6th and vote yes on Proposal 2. We need to get this.
All right. Stacey Stewart, once again, I thank you so much. We will talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Bye-bye. Stacey, thank you. I appreciate you being with us this morning. An incredible, incredible story. Imagine dedicating, as she had, years to her job, only to have it taken away, only to have her passion as a mother wanting to provide for her family taken away, to drive hours to work taken away, to be willing to do what she needed to do to take care of her family taken away. And to have all that turn around because of collective bargaining. I think it's a pretty neat story. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to get to some more audio from the convention last night on the other side. Stacey, thank you so much. I absolutely adore you. We'll take the quick break. We'll be right back.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310 WDTW.
You don't think the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. Amazing what digs up this fun-loving pup. Sweet, sweet Jack. Sweetjack.com.
Next
time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Yeah, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks again to Stacey Stewart, just my hero. No question about it. Folks, the last night, and I can only describe this as bizarre, odd, and we are told that it was off script, that Clint Eastwood was asked to appear. Now, as Jeff pointed out earlier in the show, the GOP often castigates President Obama for being pals with the Hollywood types, but there were certainly plenty of them around the convention. I don't even know how to describe this, but Clint Eastwood was asked to speak. I don't think he was asked. Well, I know he wasn't asked to do this, but this is what he did. Take a listen.
You're thinking, what's a movie tradesman doing out here? You know, they're all left-wingers out there, left of Lenin. At least that's what people think, but that's not really the case. There's a lot of conservative people, a lot of moderate people, Republicans, Democrats in Hollywood. It's just that conservative people, by the nature of the word itself, play a little more close to the vest. They don't go around hot-dogging it.
Oh, so they're afraid to say they're Republicans, huh, Clint? Well, that, of course, wasn't the bizarre part, but it starts to get a little odd when he does this skit. It starts this way.
So, Mr. President, how do you handle promises that you made when you were running for election, and how do you handle it? I mean, what do you say to people? I know people were wondering. You don't have it. Okay. Well, I know even some of the people in your own party were very disappointed when you didn't close Gitmo. And I thought, I think closing Gitmo, why close that? We spent so much money on it. But I thought maybe it's an excuse. What do you mean, shut up?
Okay. Now, he was speaking to a non-existent person in a chair that, well, there was no one in it. Okay, it gets weirder. Just go to the next clip.
I know you were against the war in Iraq, and that's okay. But you thought the war in Afghanistan was okay. You thought that was something that was worth doing. We didn't check with the Russians to see how they did there for the 10 years. But we did it. It's something to be thought about.
Okay. First of all, just a very quick comment. Afghanistan, of course, is where the war on terror should have been fought to begin with, not Iraq, and maybe he forgot that. Maybe Clint Eastwood also forgot that George Bush is the one that dragged us into that war, and it is President Obama that is figuring out a way to get us out of there. But he, of course, saves a little at the end for Vice President Joe Biden. This is what he had to say about him.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him to do that. That can't do that to himself. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. That's it. You're getting as bad as Biden. Of course, we all know Biden is the, Biden is the intellect of the Democratic Party. So just a kind of a grin with a body behind it, you know, just kind of a thing. But
all right, so you ask yourself this question: so much of the Republican National Convention wasn't about ideas. It wasn't about plans. It wasn't about process. In fact, a lot of it that we saw on TV wasn't even about philosophy or ideology. It was about insulting the president and the vice president. And, of course, poking fun. And there's nothing funny about what they did. It's just bad, bad theater. But poking fun and showing nothing but disrespect for the leaders in this country. Now, listen, I've been watching the political conventions. I'm 51 years old for many, many years now. And they're not love fests for the other guys. I get that. But this happened to be 3 days. And thank God for Hurricane Isaac. It was only 3 days of lies, lies, and more lies. I'm stunned. And I'm astonished. And I can't imagine that there are Republicans today that are walking away from that convention saying, man, did we score on this one. In fact, Ezra Klein in the Washington Post said today, whoever planned the Republican convention probably owes Mitt Romney an apology because they certainly didn't do him any favors. Listen, the Democratic National Convention's next week. I'll be there. I have no idea what to expect until I get there. But I can promise you this, it ain't going to be what you got this week. It was just bad television. And obviously, it gave the pundits, the talk shows, and everybody in between, especially the late-night comedians, plenty of fodder. Clint Eastwood probably did the biggest disservice, almost as bad as Paul Ryan's speech, to the Republican Party than anybody else. I can't even fathom why they invited him to do that. But they did, and he did it, and it's out there. If you want to see the whole thing, I'm sure it's on YouTube and lots of other websites today. Lots of people scratching their head saying, what the? Yeah, really? It was that weird. Ugh. Whatever. So we'll see what kind of bounce, because these are supposed to be after your convention speeches, you get the big bounce in the polls. Let's see what Mitt Romney gets. I'm going to guess it probably will be similar to what he got when he announced Paul Ryan as his running mate. Little to nothing. 1, maybe 2 points, and that doesn't last long. I want to quickly go back and talk about Paul Ryan. It should come as no surprise, and to those of you that were following us on Facebook yesterday, I posted no fewer than 8 or 10 anti-Paul Ryan, and from all different types of news sources, anti-Paul Ryan articles, because, well, after fact-checking him, which didn't take long because he lied about so much, including voting for things that he criticized the president for not doing, or not voting for things that he agreed with the president on, I find it beyond hypocritical. Who's paying attention? That's the point. And I read an op-ed that said, did the truth even matter? Or was it just saying what people wanted to hear? And if that's what politics has come to, then we've really failed ourselves, whether you're Republican, Democrat, whether you're a Libertarian or Green Party, or anything in between. if this is what politics has come to, just saying what needs to be said because it's what your base has to hear, again, we are failing our country profoundly. All right, in the next hour, a great, great topic. Mitch Bean joins us to talk about the governor's tax plan and how disastrous it really is. Candidate Chuck Tindall joins us for the State House, and much more to get to as we work our way through this Friday First Shift program. Stay with us. Much more to come after this.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Let's take a look at your roadways, and there are no slowdowns or accidents to report, but we do have a ladder on the roadway. That's on 96 eastbound just after Wyoming, so of course use some caution in that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikoszewski. Making a case for change, Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney telling the faithful in Tampa last night that if elected, he'll restore the U.S. economy, saying President Obama has failed.
The centerpiece of the president's entire reelection campaign is attacking success. Is it any wonder that someone who attacks success has led the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression?
Romney, hoping to redefine the race around his business background, says we deserve better. It'll be several more days before Louisiana residents caught in flooding from Isaac can head back home. 500 had to be rescued during the deluge. Isaac, now a tropical depression, soaking the Mississippi Valley. Wall Street keeping an ear out for any hint of fiscal stimulus from the Fed. Stock futures are higher and concerned about the best and the brightest. 125 Harvard undergrads suspected of plagiarizing a take-home final in what could be the school's biggest ever cheating scandal. This is NBC News Radio. More pain at the pump, and you can blame it on Isaac. Gas prices spiking because of a production slowdown in the Gulf of Mexico. CNBC's Scott Cohen.
The good news is it appears there's been no damage to the oil rigs offshore or the refineries along the Gulf Coast. The issue now is getting them back up and running, and the longer that takes, the higher prices could go.
National average for regular now 383, up a dime over the past week as we head into the Labor Day weekend. Voting rights advocates are hailing it as welcome news. A three-judge federal panel has struck down a Texas law requiring voters to show picture IDs at the polls. The judges say the state failed to show that the legislation would not harm low-income and minority voters. And the heirs of Godfather author Mario Puzo have gone to court, claiming Paramount Pictures should have paid Puzo more than the $75,000 in movie rights for films that earned the studio close to $1 billion. Apparently, it was an offer he should have refused. I'm Jim Mikoszewski, NBC News Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 diverse product categories, Grainger is basically an anything you need supply buffet. We've got everything from safety and electrical products to hardware, hand tools, and more, so you can efficiently purchase exactly what you need from one source, saving time and trouble. And just to be sure, the buffet thing was a metaphor. Please don't eat the stuff. Buy your supplies smarter. Just call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited-term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10/1/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
There is still no decision from a U.S. judge on whether Samsung will be allowed to sell some of its Galaxy smartphones and tablets here after losing its patent case to Apple, but it gets the fresh green light in Japan. A Japanese court has ruled Samsung's products do not infringe on any Apple iPhone and iPad patents. There may be a new worst-performing movie ever, The Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure. Here's a clip. The live-action kids film from the Teletubbies creator was released in more than 2,100 theaters nationwide Wednesday. It made only $100,000, averaging $47 per screen. That means a lot of totally empty theaters. There's a good chance the Oogie Loves will set a new low for opening weekend performance. Heading toward the opening bell on Wall Street, we're higher. S&P futures gaining 9, NASDAQ futures up 20, Dow futures rising 83, and early electronic trades, oil futures up 68 cents a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance, or savings, or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day, through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10-1-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete.
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork,
pride.
Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
Welcome back, everybody. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 31st day of August, 2012. I recently read an article that really piqued my interest on MLive.com. It was titled, SX Fiscal Leader Snyder's Tax Plan is Flawed. The article drew me in. I was fascinated by it, so I reached out to the principal that was quoted in the article, and that person is my next guest. Joining us now is Mitch Bean. Mitch served as the director of the Michigan House Fiscal Agency, a nonpartisan agency within the Michigan House of Representatives. Agency personnel provided confidential nonpartisan assistance to the House Appropriations Committee and all other members of the House on legislative fiscal matters. Mitch was one of three voting members of the Michigan Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference, which by law determines the official economic and revenue forecast that serves as the basis for the state budget. He is now a principal in the consulting firm of Great Lakes Economic Consulting, and he was kind enough to join me this morning to talk about Governor Snyder's tax plan and why it's not going to work the way it's been sold. And Mitch, I want to again, as I told you yesterday, thank you for giving us so generously of your time this morning.
Well, thanks.
good to talk to you.
This is a remarkable report that you sent me yesterday, an analysis of what happened. We were told, Mitch, I'm just going to put it out there, we were told that this new tax plan that shifted the burden away from business towards the working poor, the middle class, and our senior citizens, that it would somehow magically illuminate a path to businesses that would run to the state of Michigan to start anew and provide nothing but thousands of jobs that don't seem to be materializing. Were we sold a bill of goods on this?
Well, let's say it was overemphasized at the very minimum. I don't think the whole procedure works. Now, what you really have to do, though, and this is important. It's important you put all these tax changes into context because they were part of a much larger plan. You know, it reduced business taxes by about 83% or about $1.7 billion, and it eliminated business taxes for about 95,000 businesses, but then it increased tax on individuals about $1.34 billion. But they were also part of a budget plan that continued the trend of what I really consider draconian cuts to education, cuts to local government, cuts to services that affect seniors and families, and the economy. You hear those lines, we had no choice, we had to get our fiscal house in order, and we had to make this state business-friendly to get this economy going. Well, most of that's nonsense, and I'll explain why. Now, if you start with an overview of some of the important changes that have taken place in the state economy and state funding trends for education and local governments, then you look at what happened last spring, when the state made the most significant changes to budget and tax law since Proposal A in 1994. And it details the changes, of course, included things like taxing pensions, reducing the EITC, and so forth. Now, whether you like it or not, let's talk about the economy for a moment. The state economy is still tied to the domestic auto industry. Light vehicle sales averaged over $16 million per year from 1999 to 2007. But, of course, as we all know, with the Great Recession, which I don't believe was so great, but auto sales plunged about $10 million a year in 2009. What was even more of a problem for the state economy was that the share of sales that went to domestics fell from over 70%. So the big three had 70%, actually over 70% of market share in the 1990s. That fell to about 40% in 2009. This is while total sales was plunging. So the domestic auto industry was really devastated. That, of course, had devastating effect on jobs in the Michigan auto sector. Michigan employment fell from about 346,000 in 2000 to about 127,000 in 2009. Jobs in the vehicle sector are what we call high multiplier jobs, which means they affect anywhere from 4 to 6 other jobs in the state economy. So job loss of that magnitude really devastated the entire state economy. Now, again, give me a moment to put this into context because you have to view these changes in this context, I think, to understand them properly. Now, the good news is, of course, that the big three is market share is stabilized, sales are picking up, domestic auto industry is profitable again, and that's really good news for Michigan. Now, we lost a lot of jobs over that 10-year period, and I don't ever expect to see those levels of auto employment again, but employment in that sector has stabilized, and we do expect to start adding more jobs in the next couple of years. Now, because of what happened in the auto sector, we went from average job growth of about 88,000 per year in the 1990s to 10 years in a row of job loss. Two things caused the job loss, the huge losses in the auto sector and a Great Recession. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is that state politicians are already trying to take credit for the turnaround that's taking place in the state economy and that we're beginning to see some job growth. The reality is they have pretty much nothing to do with it. The gut-wrenching decline in the domestic auto industry and the manufacturing is what led us into a 10-year recession, and the recovery in the auto sector and manufacturing is what's leading us out. Now, in my opinion, the feds deserve a lot of credit for saving the domestic auto industry, making credit available and so forth. But state politicians, of course, had nothing to do with that. Now, this is something else that's important. Let's talk about trends in state spending and education. Now, if you have any doubts that education is the key to prosperity and the importance of a knowledge-based economy, I'd like you to look over Luke Laser's work that you can look at MichiganFuture.org. He's done a very good job of making the case for that. So what are we doing about education? Well, these trends, and these are trends you should keep in mind when you hear politicians talk about how pro-education they are. In nominal terms, state spending on K-12 has been flat for 10 years. In actual dollars, state spending was $12.55 billion in 2003 and $12.65 billion this year, 2012. That's an increase of only 0.8% or 0.8% in 10 years. Now, if you adjust for inflation, spending in 2012 was about 13% lower than it was in 2003 on K-12. Now, in my opinion, any way you look at it, we've also done an abysmal job of funding higher education. In actual dollars, not adjusted for inflation, higher ed funding is about 23% lower in 2012 compared to 2003. You wonder why tuition is so high? And adjusted for inflation is over 33% lower in 2012 compared to 2003. Now, another important issue for state, for the economy, is state funding for local governments. Local governments get about 75% of funding from property taxes and about 25% from the state. That's a statewide average. It varies, of course, from local government. Now, they're in trouble on both sources. And I fully expect to see more local governments laying off public safety personnel and teachers and cutting services. Now, I wrote an opinion for Huffington on March 16th. As titled, State Government Bears Responsibility for Local Government's Fiscal Distress. That explains this in a lot more detail. But state government diverted about $4.4 billion from local government revenue sharing payments since 1998 to help pay for state tax cuts and state spending. So if you need convincing about the importance of investment in local government and the economic impact that has on the state economy, check out a website called economicsatplace.com. That's where, and take a look at Dan Gilburn's stuff. He's the executive director and CEO of Michigan Municipal League. See what he has to say. Now, I'm bringing up these trends because more cuts to education, local governments, which I believe have a significant negative effect on the state economy, were a major part of paying for business tax cuts that are billed as a way to stimulate the state economy. So let's think about what happened when we did all this last year. We saw the budget shortfall with about $1.6 billion in budget cuts. Then we cut business tax about $1.7 billion and paid for the tax cuts with an increase of about $1.4 billion on individuals and other budget cuts. Now, what the tax changes amounted to was an unprecedented shift of state tax burden away from business to individuals. As I said, Proposal A was a lot bigger than that change. But we never shifted the tax burden from businesses to individuals like we just did. And the burden was shifted primarily to seniors and to the working poor. Now let's take a look at some of the details.
Well, before we get into those details, because we're just about up against the break here, Mitch, I think that especially the way you've laid this out to this point, it is obviously understandable for anybody listening to the program right now, and of course when we come back, and some of the information we have yet to share, it is going to be astounding. I very quickly though, when we look at education, and I want to make this clear, because this has really been a bipartisan issue, both Republican and Democratic governors have really done a horrible disservice to funding education, Mitch, and I want to make sure that I make that point clear this morning.
Yeah, I'm looking at 10-year trends. So this is not just one administration. And actually, you can go back a little bit further than that, too. But what I focused on is the last 10 years, last decade. But you're correct. This is not just one administration, and it's not just a Republican or Democrat thing. It's both.
Yep, absolutely. Mitch, stay right where you're at. We need to take a quick break here. Again, my guest is Mitch Bean, former director of the Michigan House Fiscal Agency. Trust me, he has a lot more to say on the other side of this. I am Tony Truppiano. You are listening to First Shift, and this is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour commute, there are no major slowdowns or accidents anywhere. Of course, we got construction, so make sure you take your time going through those construction zones, especially if there are workers present. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest again, Mitch Bean, former director of the Michigan House Fiscal Agency and principal with the Great Lakes Economic Consulting. Mitch, before we went to break, you were about to take a look at some of the details on shifting that tax burden. So I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, thanks. Well, what we're going to let's just kind of give a big picture first of where we cut the budget, then we'll talk about taxes. Because this is, it's all interconnected. Like I say, it's all based on the push to cut business taxes about $1.7 billion. Now, the trend of cutting schools and universities that I just talked about and local governments continued. in the budget that was enacted for the current year. When you add up K-12 cuts, community college cuts, cuts to universities, 48% of that almost $1.6 billion of budget cuts were cuts to education. In addition to that, local governments were cut another $145.6 million. Now, a few details. Per pupil foundation allowances, were cut $470 per pupil. And about $76.5 million in K-12 programs were just eliminated. ISDs were cut 5%, and school aid fund resources were shifted for the first time from K-12 to higher education and community colleges. But even though we shifted school aid fund money to higher education for the first time ever, we still cut universities another 15%. This is after 10 years of cuts. We also instituted lifetime limits on cash assistance. We cut graduate medical education and fire protection grants, which are grants that go to communities that have a lot of state-owned property and help to pay for local services because the state doesn't pay property taxes, of course, to locals. Now, with the tax plan in particular, and these are based on initial estimates that change from time to time, but these are approximately correct now even. The changes reduced total cash collections, or was a net tax cut, of about $550 million in 2012 and about $309 million for next year. And when these taxes are fully implemented, business taxes go down about $1.66 billion, and individual income taxes go up about $1.35 billion. Now, the way these taxes are structured is kind of interesting. Of course, I'm kind of a geek on this stuff, so
fair
you know,
enough.
What can I say? You know, but it's kind of interesting because general fund revenues actually increase, but school aid fund revenues decline a whole lot more. So total revenues was reduced about $550 million this year, but the change in distribution actually increased general fund revenues about $157 million, but cut school aid fund revenue about $710 million. Now, when the changes are fully phased in, which is next year, total revenues reduced about $309 million, and general fund increases like $394 million, but school aid fund is reduced $658 million. Now, when I say they're fully phased in, what happens is that, of course, the tax year starts January 1, the fiscal year starts October 1. So that first year, you've got this transition. That's all the issue is with the phasing in. Now, the Michigan business tax was eliminated that we had in place for 2 years, supposed to replace the single business tax. But it was replaced with a 6% income tax that only applies to corporations. And that's really important. Now, that change exempted two-thirds of businesses in Michigan from any state business tax, which is about 95,000 businesses. And that's one of the reasons the business taxes were cut, this $1.66 billion. Now, switch over to the individual income tax. And as we do this, remember that these tax changes were described by the administration as making things simple, fair, and efficient. Now, pensions, nearly all pensions are taxable now. The EITC, or the Earned Income Tax Credit, which goes to the working poor, was reduced from 20% of the federal credit down to 6%. The Homestead Property Tax Credit, which goes primarily to seniors, was reduced for a lot of people as well. And seniors and people drawing unemployment lost the special exemptions that they had. Child care deductions were eliminated, and all other major income tax credits except for the home heating credit and the homestead property tax credit, which I'll explain some of the changes in a minute because it was reduced. But all these other ones were eliminated as well. So, for example, any state credit deduction that you may be used to receiving for charitable contributions to education or food banks or community foundations, that's all gone. And the city income tax credit is gone as well. Now, when you look at how pensions are taxed now, it's kind of interesting. And remember how simple, fair, and efficient this is supposed to be. Now, it's still the case that if you have military pensions and Social Security, they're still exempt. And distributions from Roth IRAs are still exempt. And employee contributions and any employer match for retirement accounts still goes into your account pre-tax. So that part's going in, that's fine. But now there's three different age groups that are all treated differently when it comes to tax and pension income.
Yeah, and Mitch, for the sake of time, because we really only have a couple minutes left, we really can't get into all the nitty gritty on that as I would like but it does lead us back to the one question. It was supposed to be simple, fair, efficient. It was supposed to, again, somehow magically illuminate a path to the Michigan border, and businesses would come and set up shop here overnight, and we would create all kinds of jobs. What happened?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, the notion we had no choice but doing this is nonsense. When you add up all available resources, we could have avoided this year's tax cuts to cuts to education, K-12, higher education, and government and local governments, and avoided raising taxes on seniors and the poor and the working poor, and still given a business tax cut of about $500 million. The money was there. But the priority to do everything was the decision to reduce business tax $1.7 billion. Now, the things that concern me about this and what affect what your question about the economy was, they're based on this flawed notion that business tax cuts are the answer to every problem we have. It's almost become like a religious conviction, and that we need to eliminate government spending every chance we get. Now, Oliver Wendell Holmes famously said that taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society, but taxes are also a price we pay for a productive society. In order for an advanced capitalist economy to operate efficiently, it's got to have infrastructure, an educated workforce, public safety, courts, regulatory system, and a social safety net. Now, government either provides those services directly or arranges for them to be provided by the private sector. Either way, they're paid for by taxes. Now, I'm very concerned that we're underinvesting in the very things that will lead to a productive economy. Now, the question is, what about the stimulus the business tax cuts will have on the state economy and jobs? Well, okay, let's talk about that. State tax policy isn't the reason firms hire people. I've got a business myself. Most of my experience in my working life has been in the private sector. I worked in the private sector longer than I did in the public sector. Firms hire people because they need the help. It's about aggregate demand for what they produce. It's not about state tax policy. Now, a couple of things are important here. The Federal Reserve tracks how much cash firms have on the balance sheets. It's in the trillions of dollars. They aren't hiring because demand for goods and services they produce doesn't justify it.
Yeah, and Mitch,
all the uncertainty.
And unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I think that that's the perfect place to end it. You've said it the way it is. It's truly supply and demand. Mitch Bean, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be calling on you again.
All right, thanks.
Now, you bet. A quick break here. Chuck Tindall, candidate for the U.S. House. Yes, the U.S. House of Representatives, will be with us next. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Take a look at your Friday holiday commute, and it is looking very good. There are no accidents or slowdowns. We got construction on Farmington Road, both directions north of Plymouth until 3 o'clock. Also, Grand River Avenue eastbound just before Grand Boulevard. Right lane's closed until 3 o'clock. And LeVan Road north and south between Plymouth and Schoolcraft, that's closed due to railroad crossing repairs. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Need to quench your thirst? Drive through McDonald's and grab a refreshing Dr. Pepper, any soft drink or sweet tea for $1. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Hear what I say, and hear what I say loud and clear. I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice. And if you don't know the difference between the two, you never will. listen to me. There is no connection or correlation between rape and abortion. And that anybody would make that leap is absolutely disgusting.
First Shift with Tony Trubino on 1310 WDTW.
Get ready, America, for here comes the next latest and greatest thing in aviation. Wow, what could it be? Maybe the airlines are going to drop all of their ridiculous rip-off fees. That'd be great. No, not that kind of aviation. Also, you probably won't find this breakthrough so great. It's the arrival and proliferation of, quote, unmanned vehicle systems, soon to be buzzing around in the airspace of your own town. Yes, drones, right here at home. Those very same tiny, pilotless, remote-controlled, undetectable planes that the CIA has been secretly using to spy on and bomb people in Pakistan and elsewhere are headed to your and my local police departments, FBI offices, and, well, who knows who else will have these latest and greatest toys. All we know is that Congress, under pressure from Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and other big drone peddlers, directed the Federal Aviation Agency earlier this year to open up civilian airspace to thousands of them by 2015. And in their wisdom, our loosey-goosey lawmakers provided no regulation of who can have drones, how many, or for what purpose. So, prepare to be pestered and monitored, for police agencies and corporate interests are said to be abuzz about getting their own. The first ones are expected to be used for high-altitude surveillance, which is worrisome enough. But a Texas sheriff's office that already has bought a Shadow Hawk drone says it might outfit the little buzzer to fire tear gas and rubber bullets. No worries, though, for the drone industry's lobbying group has drafted a 2-page code of conduct, urging purchasers to, quote, respect the privacy of individuals. This is Jim Hightower saying, but it's a voluntary code and totally unenforceable. For more information, contact the Electronic Privacy Information Center, epic.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trubino.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. I want to thank Mitch Bean. I've got more to say about what Mitch was talking about a little bit later on in this hour. I do want to, though, turn your attention as we continue the promise we made to you throughout this campaign season to bring you good candidates that are running for the Michigan House. As you know, it is going to take a huge effort to turn the House from Republican to Democrat, and one of the people that hopes to be one of those Democrats is my next guest. Joining us now is Chuck Tindall. Chuck is running for a Michigan State Representative in Michigan's 38th House District. He is a lifelong resident of Michigan, born in Detroit, and has been a Novi resident for the last 23 years. He is a graduate of Garden City High School, and has been a union commercial carpenter with Detroit Local 687 for 21 years, and he joins us this morning to tell us why he needs your vote. Chuck, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. It was a pleasure meeting you last week.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Tony. Definitely a pleasure meeting you, and I'm glad to be able to speak with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. As you heard me say, it's critical that we turn the House from Republican to Democrat on November 6th, and of the many reasons I'm sure that you're running, that's one of them. Chuck, there is, you know, those that have never been a candidate don't understand really the difficult task that it is. Why did you decide that this was something you wanted to take on?
Well, for one thing, I just happen to have the opportunity. I am now retired from a carpenter. We have a point system, and even through the chaos of the recession, I was finally able to get my points, qualifying for the pension. Had the economy still been going, I would have continued to work, but since it wasn't, I opted to retire, and then that presented the opportunity to try to give back. Now that I've made it, I could give back to my union. and to the state, as you said, that I've been a lifelong member of.
Now, there's no question there are a great many challenges that are facing the state of Michigan right now. And we've also seen, Chuck Tindall, over the last year and a half plus, a Republican legislature that has really been quite reckless as it relates to democracy. They don't seem to care what the will of the people is. I would think that that's probably part of the reason that you've decided to take this adventure and take on your opponent this November.
Well, absolutely. And that brings to mind one minor issue that kind of got me involved in politics to begin with, and that was a local issue here in Novi, where we had a city council that had decided they wanted a municipal golf course on property that the citizens had agreed to purchase for parklands. So I got involved then because I felt that the citizens should get to decide the use of that land, since we had to put up the money for them to buy it to begin with. And I got involved with the grassroots individuals. We took up a petition. We got it on the ballot. We revised the city charter to prevent them from doing this, and in the process, we got a new mayor, and we took out two council people who were pro-golf course.
Well, Bill, that's a good enough reason to get involved in politics, and, you know, at looking at the website, and, of course, looking at some of your literature. First of all, I want to commend you for something. Many candidates don't put their party affiliation on their literature. Yours, in bold letters, says Democrat. And what I love about it is you have the Webster definition, and it is this: a believer in democracy, one who treats all others as equals. Thank you, Chuck, for being honest.
Well, yeah, I see no point in trying to hide it, and I'm definitely very upfront about it. And again, that relates right back to what I was saying about this golf course thing, to where they were ignoring the people, and that's exactly what we have going on at the state level now. And, you know, the thing with the PA4 Act, where that just totally sidesteps the elected people, the elected officials. So, you know, they want to completely ignore democracy, and they feel that they know what is best. You know, and I could not disagree more with that.
You know, Chuck Tindall, it's actually fairly amazing, because I often talk about electing representatives. And what I mean by that, people that actually represent who we are. You are one of those people. You are a union guy. You worked hard. You raised a family. You've taken care of them. I mean, you are a representative of your community. I had gone on a rant the other day that, you know, maybe if our communities were full of white lawyers, you know, white male lawyers, well, then our representatives would probably be fairly well covered. We need people like you serving in the Michigan House.
Well, thank you, I agree completely. You know, we've got individuals in there now that are just, you know, the party followers. They may be good people at heart, but, you know, they're basically directed on this is how you're going to vote, and they again, as I say, they're just ignoring the citizens that put them in there, the ones that they are supposed to represent and work for.
You know, Chuck, right before we had you on, we had Mitch Bean on, who's the former director of the Michigan House Fiscal Agency, who basically told us that the governor's tax scheme that took the burden off businesses, placed it on the working poor, the middle class, and seniors, was unnecessary and is failed policy. I happen to know this is something that you feel passionately about.
Yes, I was listening to that also, and I found that to be very informative, and yes, I could not agree more. Especially when it came to the idea of taxing pensions. The whether or not pensions should be taxed is one question, but it's the way that they did it. It was one of the things that I felt that he was trying to emphasize. And to me, that is a typical Republican move of divide and conquer. You know, when you break it down in these different age groups on who gets taxed and how much, well, then you're dividing the people. If you think it is good or the proper thing to do to tax pensions, then you should just tax pensions. If you're not going to do it fairly and equally, you should not do it.
And we should not do it. And one other issue that I know is extremely important to you, Chuck Tindall, is education. You heard Mitch talk about them raiding the education fund, what you know we've done over the last decade to education. That's something you'd like to fix as well.
Oh, absolutely. They, you know, we've been dealing with these cuts going on and on and on, and now they are opening up more charter schools, basically making it unlimited, and that is another further drain on our public schools. I had one individual make a comparison to me that it would be like opening up a pizza joint on every corner. You're calling it competition, but it's just not practical. You're definitely going to have a lot of failures.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. Let me get some information out. Chuck's website, by the way, is chucktindall.com, and that's chucktindall.com, and we'll get that on the Facebook page if Jeff hasn't already done that. And I want to make sure people know where the 38th district is. Where is the 38th House District?
Well, that consists of Novi, Walled Lake, South Lyon, Lyon Township, Novi Township, and a section of Northville that is north of 8 Mile Road.
Well, you've got your hands full. Listen, I have been a candidate before. I know how difficult it is. I want to always remind people, as I do every time I have a candidate on, if you've got $5, $10, whatever you can afford, there is no such thing as free politics, folks. It costs money to run a successful campaign, and if you can make a contribution, please consider giving to Chuck Tindall, as he is exactly the kind of representative we need in the state house, and I assure you that he is going to work hard for you. His union roots, his family roots. This is just a real guy wanting to do a real job for real people. And, Chuck, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony, very much for having me on.
You bet.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Chuck Tindall, again, running for the State House of Representatives in the 38th House District. And you do really want to go check out his website, chucktindall.com, and Jeff tells me that it is already on the Facebook page. If you've not been there, just go to Facebook and search for First Shift, and you'll find it all right there. Chuck, I met him at the Democrats of West Oakland County when I was there speaking last Tuesday. He's just a real guy. I mean, you know, this is exactly what I talk about. When I talk about real people electing real people to the state house, Chuck's the kind of person I'm talking about. You know, he's walked in the same shoes you and I walk in. He's worn the same boots you and I wear. He's raised the same families you and I are raising. He's sent his kids to public schools. He understands the challenges that we all face. These are the kind of people we need making decisions for us up in Lansing. And so I wish Chuck the best, and I want to thank him again for his time this morning. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about our conversation with Mitch Bean. And, of course, you're welcome to join us. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this.
Want your business to be heard on the go with our listeners? Advertise on iHeartRadio, the fastest-growing radio app voted best radio app of 2012. If you want to stand out and be heard by your future customers and our most loyal listeners, then email iHeartDetroit at clearchannel.com.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do?
At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS Health Beat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future, so start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. All you really have to do is go into a chat room and start talking. Once we start chatting, I act as cool as possible. The more we chat, the more they trust me. When they send their picture, I tell them how hot they are. After I convince them we're soulmates, I ask to meet in person. Once that happens, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon, 1-800-468-6933. Narcanon provides free assessment and referral services. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit our website at stopaddiction.com.
Support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We now go to the phones and welcome Chris. Chris, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Oh, good. Chris, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to say that your comments about Clint Eastwood this morning, you hit the nail on the head. And in full disclosure, I got to tell you, I love Clint Eastwood as an actor. I think as a director, he's probably one of the three greatest American directors of the last 40 years. When I was in California last year, I ate at his restaurant and had a great time. The man crossed the line last night. You do not go on national TV and say not once but twice that the president of the United States is crazy. I support the man's right to say whatever he wants politically. If he wants to make 100 commercials for Romney, God bless him, and he's got the right to do that as an American citizen, even though I might be supporting President Obama. When you cannot go on TV and call the president of the United States crazy, that's just way, way over the line.
Yeah, but Chris, I have to tell you, and I'm still, first of all, Clint Eastwood did absolutely nothing to help himself. In fact, there are millions of people this morning that are truly wondering if there's something wrong with him. And I'm not making a joke. There was the incoherency of that, the stuttering, the seeming lack of flow, and I understand that he was quote unquote off script, and that the RNC didn't know that he was going to do that, and all that. But at the end of the day, wasn't it an attempt at humor? Wasn't it an attempt at what? It's sad, and I don't disagree with you. He's a fabulous actor. He is a very gifted director. He should stay in that realm.
Well, you know, in politics, Tony, you never hand the microphone to a non-professional person outside of politics because you risk that kind of thing happening. And it was just, you know, I thought the whole thing about when he teased that line where he said, what do you want him to do? Oh, he can't do that to himself.
Right.
Well, we all obviously know what the missing lines were, and you could argue about if that was appropriate or not, but obviously that was an attempt at humor. But you just don't call the president crazy. If I was on the Democratic team that was putting together all the crazy comments from that convention, I would start out with that, I would end with that, and I would play that on a constant loop.
And
it's just disgraceful.
And I'm sure, Chris, they're going to be all over that. As you know, I'll be heading off to this weekend to Charlotte to join the folks at the Democratic National Convention. I don't believe we're going to see anything quite that insane.
Well, Tony, having been to one of those things myself, bring home lots of swag. There's lots of stuff. Bring home lots of stuff, and you're going to have a great time.
Yeah,
I'm
very much
looking
forward.
I look forward to your reports.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Chris. Appreciate the phone call this morning a great deal. 888-552-3595. Let us go to Anthony in Detroit and welcome him to First Shift. Good morning, Anthony. What's
on
your mind?
All right. I need you to help me with something. If you can help me with something concerning, because I'm just tuning in, about the Clint Eastwood, Mitt Romney, and Paul Ryan and Ann Romney. Now, when y'all saying, well, as far as Clint Eastwood making the comments he made, and then the Romney campaign, you know, it quickly put out some tweets or statements that, like, he's just an entertainer, something to that nature. I'm just paraphrasing, entertainer, and he's not political. That's been a theme about all the racist comments and hints and innuendos and alluding to racism and other birther. It's a slew of comments that's been going on for a while, and they would defend it and kind of just brush it aside, saying, oh, this is not nothing. It's just appalling what is happening to this country right now. And to say, well, he just got off script or whatever, or a gaffe, that just tears me up talking about a gaffe. They speak in their mind. So it just don't make any sense for them to defend. What it is, they don't care. People say, well, they're out of touch, you know, they're making comments, or they just don't get it. They do get it. They know what they're doing. They're not new at this game, and so they know what they're doing.
No, Anthony, you're 100% correct, and there are racist overtones to that convention. I think that, to my knowledge, they only had two African-American speakers, maybe a couple Latino speakers, but, you know, that's just placating the media. They don't care about black folks. They don't care about Asian folks. They don't care about Latinos. They don't care about immigration. They don't care about education. They care about stuffing their pockets with money. And the only way they know how to defend, they have created a president that doesn't exist. Anthony, what they're doing is criticizing a president by lying about everything he's done.
Yeah, isn't that a shame? They're building a whole platform on lies. And I called last week or early this week, in the news media, the mainstream news media, it's culpable. They are aiding and abetting the Republican Party. They act like they're not even journalists. It's like they don't have the information, and you know, and don't even call it on it. Just go along like they saying something's true.
Well, I'll give them
both sides do it. That's ridiculous.
I'm with you, brother. Thank you for your call.
Let me say this.
Yeah,
can
yeah.
I say one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now when they say, well, Mitt Romney got to give a speech. You know, he's giving a speech. We got to see what he's gonna say. How he gonna shift to the center, or what he's gonna say? Even Ann Romney saying, "Well, we love women. He loves women." And Mitt shifting, he's saying he's for abortion. There's some exceptions to abortion. Paul Ryan is saying now about abortion. You know, women can have abortions in case of incest and rape, and people say, well, we waiting on to see what they say at this convention, and we gonna go by that. So I don't understand. That's what I need you to help me with. They act like it's a game. So if you say something contrary to what they, cause Paul Ryan has a record, and Mitt Romney made all kind of statements 100 different ways, opposite to what he said before. So what he said at convention. So So what I say today negates what I'd have stood on for all these years. What people are thinking about, you just help me with that. How they can say, well, oh, he said this. This is how you stand today. We wait to see what he say. So all the past just is erased.
Oh, brother, I can't reconcile it. So I'm sorry. I can't help you with that. You know, interestingly, on the abortion issue, where Mitt Romney has said that he does believe in exceptions, Paul Ryan has said he doesn't, but he wouldn't be the president and would follow the policy, which just is a way around him really answering. The only thing I will give the media credit for, Anthony, was ripping apart Paul Ryan's speech, and they did wholeheartedly because it was nothing but one big fat lie. All right. It's Friday, and it's the last hour of the show coming up. That means one thing, Joe DeSano, and that's never a bad thing. So we'll look forward to that. Quick break for the top of the hour. We'll wrap it up right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Take a look at your Friday holiday commute, and it is looking very good. There are no accidents or slowdowns. We got construction on Farmington Road, both directions north of Plymouth until 3 o'clock. Also, Grand River Avenue eastbound just before Grand Boulevard. Right lanes closed until 3 o'clock. And Levan Road north and south between Plymouth and Schoolcraft, that's closed due to railroad crossing repairs. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and windy and 96 degrees. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow, 85 and partly sunny. And it's currently 67 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift.